Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. See, you have to be in a position where the truth matters to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I say buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
Because if the truth matters to you, just like anything that you hold of value, you will go above and beyond to either get it or protect it.
Amen. That's right.
We don't value the truth that we have.
Amen.
Because we don't recognize it, number one, as being the truth. Like I say, we got a lot of people still struggling with the understanding whether or not the Bible is truly the word of God.
Right.
So you have to sell that first. And I'm not talking about a version of the Bible, like if it's New King James versus the King James or versus the NIV. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who literally don't believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God.
Yeah, that's
they don't believe that the scriptures, no matter who wrote them, the scripture writers were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write those scriptures.
Amen.
Whether you think it was the man's opinion at the time or not, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen. And
all scripture is profitable for teaching, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And all the scriptures are coming together to make us a perfect man in Christ. That's what the scripture is about.
Amen.
So the first thing you have to do is settle in your mind, in your thought process, is the Bible the true written word of God?
Right.
Can we say that the Bible is the infallible word of God? Or is there something else out there that you're trying to ascribe to
right.
as being the word of God? So right. that's the first thing. Because that to me is one big reason why people are not embracing the Bible. And for those people who would say, well, the scriptures is not God, okay, I'm not going to argue that point.
No.
I let God take care of that with you. That's not for me to argue. Because here's what I don't do. I don't put myself in a position where I'm trying to defend God.
Right, right.
I have no reason to.
Amen. He don't need that.
He don't need me trying to defend him. So if you're trying to make that argument, you're not going to get that out of me anyway.
Right.
But what I will say is you have to say that within yourself.
Amen.
Because you have to stand before him.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I'm going to read something from 1 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
He's telling you what the influencer is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing to me about that is, and I said this at one point before, but I just want to reiterate where I'm coming from with that. There are people who think that that God is at war with the devil.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't ascribe to that thought process because the devil has already been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
There is no war with God and the devil. The devil is no more than a servant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, he's less than we are.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
But most believers don't understand the authority in that regard because they have been influenced by the influencer.
Yes, sir.
And because of his appearance.
Yeah.
They have abdicated their authority.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the appearance. Peter says, your adversary.
Mm-hmm.
He made it plain.
Yeah.
It ain't God's adversary.
That's right.
It ain't my adversary. But I understand where he is in my life.
Yeah.
He's under my feet.
Yeah.
But your adversary, yeah. the devil, as a roaring lion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he looks bad. He sounds bad. He got all the stuff that comes with being bad.
Yeah.
Right. Walk it about seeking whom he may devour. Yes. He doesn't even have permission to just devour you.
Right.
He's seeking whom he may. He's seeking. Who is he seeking? And it's interesting to me that. The seeking whom is red letter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
If you read Job, you're going to find him again seeking.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And what did God tell him? Because he's walking. God asked him, Satan, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Because God is meeting with the sons of God. They meeting.
Yes, sir.
Here comes Satan, too.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, I'm walking to and fro in the earth. I'm basically seeking who I can devour.
Devour, that's it, Doc.
And God says, well, have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
So God literally puts him on Job.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because God's testimony regarding Job would tell you why He's and the devil said it. Well, he's perfect. He's upright. He's all these things. And, mm-hmm. But if you touch this and you touch that, he'll curse you to your face. God, well, okay, have at it.
Come on with it.
You know what I'm saying? So,
oh yeah,
he's always seeking who he can devour.
Yes, sir.
And just like a roaring lion, he's not going after the strong all the time.
Right, right.
He's trying to find that weak link.
Right.
So even the strong ones, if you got weaknesses, he's coming for that weakness.
Right, right.
He's trying to get your Achilles heels. He's trying to find out how he can get you and somehow cripple you so now he can take your authority and do what he wants to do.
That's a fact. That's a right? fact.
So he's always seeking. And that's why we need to settle it in our minds, in our hearts, and our understanding. Number one, who we are. We got to know that. But you also need to know who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you understand truly who God is, then you better understand who we are in him.
Yes, sir.
And what we have because we are in him. And be able to realize that the adversary that's walking around seeking whom he may devour, don't have to devour you.
Amen. Amen.
Because if you know who you are and you know whose you are, his seeking will have to bypass you.
Yes, sir.
So then that'd be one less person that he's devouring.
Yes, sir.
But it's like we don't want to make that stand because we're too busy trying to be influencers ourselves, for one thing, but we haven't settled in our mind who God is, so therefore we don't know who we are. We haven't settled in our mind what God's word really is or what God's word represents, so we're not seeking him in the word. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
In all kind of situations, chaos running rampant.
Amen.
And we wonder why the world is like it is.
Amen. And my thing is, man, if you want to be an influencer, that's it. You know, if that's what you want to be, why not be a Christian, you know, influencer, bringing people back to the body of Christ, man, teaching the true word of God, man. If you want to influence somebody, be a Christian influencer, man. You know, teaching sound doctrine, man, teaching the truth, carrying the word of God with power, man, like they used to do back in the day, man, and wasn't afraid to do it.
Yep. But see, we haven't sell on Christianity either, though, because that's the other man's religion.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, the other man's religion.
So we haven't even settled on that. We're fighting about that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, even though in Acts chapter 11, the Bible does say the believers were called Christians first at Antioch.
First.
At Antioch.
That's right.
Christians in the Bible. We have allowed influencers to make us think that Christianity is some other man's religion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So we've made it a cultural thing now. So it doesn't belong to a certain sect. It's other, but that in itself is aiding the devourer to devour some people.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize that when you start discounting things that God has given weight to, you start to discount God's effect in your life.
Yeah.
And that's what tends to happen. But all throughout history, when chaos is on the scene, whether it be political chaos, social chaos, whatever's going on, the church has always been the backbone to get things back aright.
Amen. Amen.
When a church is ineffective, things in society tend to go rampant wild.
Amen.
That's what we're really seeing. If you want to really tell the truth about it, the breakdown in our society is because there's a breakdown in our church.
Right.
If the church would really stand up and be the church, things would be different.
Amen.
But there's a lack of church fortitude, and the church is made up of family.
Amen.
So when the family break down, it tends to break other things down.
Yes, sir. It's like a domino effect. It is, man. It just trickles down, man, from, you know, family to friendships. I mean,
all that.
You know.
And the church experience has always been a part of our family experience.
Right, right.
Right. Families went to Bible study. Families went to Sunday school. Families went to church service.
Right, right. That's right.
When that starts to break down, you're going to have chaos in families.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have breakups in families. You're going to have breakups in society because there's no plumb line no more.
Right, 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 right. You got to the point where, you know, like you said, families used to be the backbone of the church, man. You got families now, you know, the husband visiting this church, the wife visiting this church. I mean, it's just a total breakdown, man. And we need to get back to where we used to be in Christ, man.
Yeah. Can you imagine that, and what you just said to me, man, can you imagine, cause you said like a husband's at one church, wives, can you imagine what message what message from the Bible would separate a family?
Right. Yeah. Great question, man. What message?
What message from the Bible is going to separate a family? Unless there's one of the individuals who's just not going to embrace truth.
Right. Right. That's right, Doc.
But if we're both supposed to be, I'm going to say, warriors for the truth, you know, hungered for the truth, because Jesus said, for those of us that thirst and hunger after righteousness, we'll be fed. But if we're hungering for the truth, if we're thirsty for the truth, that we're seeking for the truth, searching for the truth, believing God for the truth, and the truth is in the scriptures, how do that separate families?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody is not embracing truth.
Right.
Somebody has ascribed to something else.
Right.
And because of that, now you have the separation.
Right.
Because two can't walk together except they be agreed.
They got to agree.
Got to agree. What does that agree with me? You got to have an appointment. There has to be a coming together. You have to be on the same page to some degree.
Yes, sir. On one accord.
Has to be an appointment.
Yes, sir.
That's the agreement. Has to be an appointment. So if we are on appointment and on assignment and in agreement, then we shouldn't be in separate congregations.
Yeah. 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 That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the level we've gotten to now.
Yeah.
Where you got one who's going to embrace and one who's not.
Yeah.
And both would think they're right.
That's it.
And be okay with it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And that's the power of the influencer.
Right.
That's breaking down the process.
Right.
Because the influencer is able to get someone to abdicate their position.
Right.
And once you abdicate your position, it's not easy to get back there.
Right.
Especially if you've known the truth at some point, or you've known the way. That's what it used to be called back in the day. It was called the way.
The way.
If you've known the way, because the Bible talks about that too. For one to fall away, that at once knew the way.
Yeah.
It's harder to win that one back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so deep, Doc.
So you can literally look in society and tie the chaos in society. You can find it in the word.
You can find it in the word of God, man.
You can find it.
You just got to search the scriptures. It's in the word of God.
You can find it.
Yes, sir.
But like we said earlier, a lot of people haven't decided what the word of God really is.
Amen.
So they're searching for something else. Or they just want to serve the God of their imagination. And they will say that, you know, I don't care what you say, whatever, you know, that's not the God I serve.
Right.
And I don't argue with people, man. I'll be like, you're right.
Yeah.
It's the God you serve.
That's the God you serve.
It's the God you serve. You're serving that image in your mind.
Right.
Which is idol worship. And you're faithful to that. You do all you do. And you're in a place where you're allowed to do that.
Amen.
Because there's no power in there to extract that thought process from you. So right. If you're not encountering the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're not encountering an anointing that can break that yoke, then you just yoked up.
You just yoked up. That's good with that, Doc.
You yoked up. Although you unequally yoked.
Yeah.
But you yoked up.
But you yoked up.
You yoked up.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we're living in times now, man, where you really can't come against people's thought process, because that's fighting for them. That's fighting words for them.
Amen.
People will literally take your life.
Amen.
That's right. But you're trying to give them truth.
Yeah. Like we said earlier, man, you know, it's, you know, we're living in a time where, man, it don't take much for a person to get angry, man. You know, you was talking about the chaos you had outside your house, man. It don't take much to set somebody off, man. And it didn't used to be like that, man.
And the scariest thing for me, the thing that concerns me the most, is as I read the Bible, I see we're in the same kind of predicament that we read about the earlier saints was dealing with. We're in the same kind of predicament. When those early saints, man, were being ridiculed, they were being persecuted. All these things were happening just because of their following scriptures, following Christ, man. They went through a whole lot of stuff, man. John was on the Isle of Patmos because of persecution when God gave him the vision of the revelation. He's fleeing persecution. He's on the Isle of Patmos.
Yes, sir.
When he gets that vision about heaven and what's going on in heaven because of the persecution. And we are now in times where believers are being persecuted for believing in Christ, for believing in the word. It's to me, it's like reading the scriptures and we're walking it out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We're reading the scriptures and we're walking it out. We're literally walking in those places where men will not value your life.
Right. Right.
Right. Where men will ostracize you because you believe in the God of the scriptures.
Right.
And they'll call you all kind of things because you'll read scripture.
Yeah.
Just reading scripture alone brings so much vitriol. It's amazing.
It's so amazing, Doc.
Just read scripture alone. They will get mad at you if you just read the scripture and leave the scripture. If you don't give them some type of flamboyant interpretation or insert your opinion or allow them to insert theirs,
right?
They literally get mad at you.
At the scripture, man.
And I'm thinking, yeah, I just read you the scripture.
That's all, man. Just
and that set you off?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't come to you and say, this is what I think or this is what I believe. I just read you the scripture.
Yes, sir.
What the scripture said.
Yes, sir.
And he calls you to come and go left field.
Yeah.
That says a lot about you and what you believe. Right. Just in that.
Right. Right. That says a lot by itself, man. But we just got to get back to the point where, man, we just show people the true meaning of God, man. We just got to lead them back to the Father, man. Because, I mean, we've fallen by the wayside, man. And, you know, it's so much going on, man, with, you know, poverty, sickness, it's just a lot of stuff going on, and we so concerned about, you know, petty stuff, man, when we need to get back to the real, you know, the real situation, the real situation, what's going on in our society, man. We need to come back.
Yeah, we need to recognize that our land needs to be healed.
Yes, sir.
And for that to happen, you know, we have to turn from our wicked ways. We need to seek his face. We need to pray. We need to do those things that God will heal our land, because if he doesn't heal our land, man, we're gonna be in a drought and not know what happened.
That's right, Doc.
Look at that pandemic that hit and the way it hit.
Right, right, right.
All of a sudden, right? One day you're going about doing what you need to do. You're going to the office, you're working. You're going to a concert. You're going to a sporting event. You're in the shopping mall. You're doing all you want to do. In the airport, traveling. You're on cruise ships. You're doing all the things you normally do, and one day, shut the whole world down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One day.
Yes, sir.
Something happened that shut the whole world down.
And speaking of that, that right there alone should have registered something in our minds, man. It's like, man, you know, we need to go back.
Something, man.
To the old landmark, man.
Something.
It should trigger something in your spirit, man. We need to do something different, man.
Something, man. I work for a company, and I've been working with this company since 2014, and people have asked, ever since I've been in management, they've asked, why can't we work from home? Why can't we work from home? And our answer would always be, because we are not built for home assignments.
Wow.
We are an brick and mortar type business.
Right, right.
We're not built for home working.
Right, right.
For years.
Yeah.
And then one day.
Yeah.
When that pandemic hit,
oh man!
In 7 days, everybody at that time, over 700 employees working from home.
Wow!
Within 1 week.
Wow!
But from 2014 to 2020, that had never happened,
yeah,
because we were told we couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's impossible.
We're a brick and mortar company.
Yeah.
We can't do. We can't monitor. We can't do all these things we couldn't do from home.
Yeah.
And that one day when everything got shut down because of that pandemic, within 7 days. Our entire fleet of employees are working from home.
Wow.
And we have been working from home ever since.
Oh, man, that's pretty deep, man.
So whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're going through, and whatever you see in your life, however you see it, man, it only takes one word from God.
Amen.
To change it one way or the other.
To speak it into existence, man. One word.
One word can change it one way or the other.
Right. That's right.
Which really shows us how much control we don't have.
Don't have. Yeah, that's it there, Doc. Control we don't have.
We don't have. There's nothing anybody could do to keep everything open when that virus was sweeping through the world.
Yeah, yeah.
The people that tried to stay open and tried to go on like business as usual, most of those people end up in body bags.
Yeah, yeah.
That's millions right. of people.
Millions of people. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
so,
sir.
It works the opposite.
Yeah.
No matter what we're going through, that's bad or negative, whatever, it only takes one word.
Amen.
To change it around. It can be going completely downhill at a rapid speed, and God can send one word to turn everything around.
He can totally turn it around.
Set everything up aright like it needs to be.
Yes, sir.
But you have to be settled on if he's God or not.
Right.
if his word is true or not, and if you are his or not.
Right.
And nobody can answer that for you but you.
Hey, man, you know, you just got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, man, and all that other stuff will be added unto you, man. So, you know, you just got to seek God, man. You know, just get back, you know, get your mind focused back on God, man.
Yeah. So what are we doing?
Yeah, yeah. What are we doing, man?
What are we doing?
What in the world are we doing, man?
What is it? And who do we think we're dealing with?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the God of the scriptures made it very clear. It's a terrible thing.
It's a terrible thing.
To fall in the hands of the living God.
Amen.
A fearful thing.
Amen. Amen.
Fearful thing.
That's it. That's it.
I wouldn't want to be the one that doesn't give him the glory and the praise that he's deserving. And let's just say it doesn't take all that. Let's just say that we're overboard in our thinking, that God doesn't really require us to think of him like that. Let's just say if he doesn't really expect that from us.
Yeah.
And we're overboard. We're overdoing it. Let's just say we're overdoing it.
Right.
And we get before him and he says, well, I didn't require you to do all that you did, but you did it.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
I didn't require you to do, but you did it.
But you did it.
But
anyway.
We made it. We made it.
Yeah.
I would rather that testimony than be the one that don't do.
Yeah.
And then he'd say, I never knew you.
Right.
Because you. Yeah. So you make the decision for yourself. But what I am saying is if we're going to see anything turn around, if we're going to see any changes, we're going to have to make some adjustments.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to have to make some adjustments. And we need to make those major adjustments. We need to stop idol worshiping.
Amen.
We need to stop running from the God of the scriptures.
Amen.
We need to embrace the truth. Like the proverb says, we need to buy the truth and sell it not. And we need to be people who treat people like we should treat people.
Yeah.
Because God created us all. None of us created ourselves. He created us all.
That's right.
And we all are indebted to our creator. And one of the things he told us from a creator standpoint is love one another.
Yes, sir.
Love do unto one. Others as you have them do unto you.
That's right.
All the commandments he gave, he says, are summed up in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Every command that was given, he says, summed up in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
So it comes down to love.
Come down to love, man. You know, when in light of all the issues we've discussed today, the question is, what in the world are we doing?
What are we doing?
Ask yourself that question. What in the world are we doing? Are we treating our fellow man right? Are we praising and worship God like we should? Are we lifting him up daily? What in the world are we doing?
That's a powerful question.
Yes, it is.
And I would dare say that it won't be many that actually try to answer it. But that's a powerful question, man. It is one that you should want to answer.
Yeah.
And whatever your answer is, be honest with yourself.
Right, right.
Be right. Honest. Be yeah. Honest with yourself. Yeah. Be honest with what am I doing?
Yeah.
What in the world am I doing?
Yeah.
And what could I be doing?
Right.
Is what I'm doing helping someone or hindering someone?
Amen.
Am I furthering someone along the way, or am I trying to hold somebody back?
Right.
What am I really doing? What is my speech doing? What is my actions doing? What am I promoting? What am I ascribing to? Who am I partnering with? All of that thing comes together to say what you believe.
Amen. What are you seeking, man?
I mean,
you know, as a Christian, we should be in the position where we are trying to complete instead of competing. We compete on a daily basis, you know, like we talk about who's got the most points, who got the most followers, who's got the most Facebook friends, who got the most Twitter followers. I mean, we always competing instead of completing what we need to do in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And this whole argument that we fall into, because we argue about everything, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I mean, somebody's going to go outside and it's pouring down rain and it's cold.
Yeah.
And they're going to come in the house and say, man, it's raining, it's cold out there.
Yeah.
Why you cold?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter what you say, there's always naysayers. And that to me just says we're a bankrupt society.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We're so bankrupt that we have to argue about everything. It doesn't matter what you say, who you say it to, somebody is going to argue that point, even if it doesn't even apply to them. They cannot. They don't even have to be in the conversation.
Right.
But they're going to put their little two cents in there.
There's no reasoning, man.
No reasoning. No,
I mean, it's like they used to say, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah. And I'm like, why?
Why?
Why are you over here in this? I used to hear people say, you know, this is an A and B conversation. See your way out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that sometimes because, you know, we talk about the Facebook and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of people post different things on Facebook. And my approach has always been, if I'm going to come in, I want to say something positive. If you're celebrating a birthday, you're celebrating your graduation for your kid or whatever, I'm going to either, you know, throw a like in, I'm going to say something positive, come in or whatever. I'm not going to come in trying to give some negative comment on something that has really nothing to do with me.
Amen,
like that.
Amen. It's always positive. You know, I'm the same way. It's always positivity, man. I mean, you know, I like something or somebody, you know, got a new book out or got a new record out or whatever, man. It's always something positive because the way I look at the situation, man, is enough out there for everybody. What's mine is mine.
Yep.
And what's yours is, you know, it's yours, man. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why are we competing against one another, man? It's just so much out there, man, you know.
Yeah.
Enough for everybody.
And most times it's where competition not even needed.
Absolutely.
If I scroll through something that I don't like, don't agree with, don't want to see, whatever, I keep scrolling.
Amen, amen.
There's no compulsion in me to stop and have to engage.
Right.
If it's something I don't like, don't approve of, don't want to see, whatever, I can keep moving.
Amen.
I just don't understand why people have to stop, put themselves into something that has nothing to do with them. Number one, number two, that you don't ascribe to, don't like, don't want, whatever. There's a whole lot of processes for that stuff you don't want to see.
Yeah.
You can hide, you can do whatever, but it's that need to engage in stuff, that need to put a point in, that need to come, all that stuff. That creates the chaos.
Right, right. Like you always say, keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving, man.
If I put something on my page that you don't like, keep moving. There's a whole lot of other pages out there.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
It's probably going to have something you might like.
Amen.
Just keep it moving.
Hey, keep it moving, Doc.
Only positivity stuff over here. Positive vibes only.
Yeah, only, Doc.
Don't want your negativity. Don't want your argument, because I ain't going to argue with you anyway.
Right.
I purposely put stuff out there that I'm not going to argue with you about anyhow.
Right.
So if you're looking for a fight, go fight somebody else.
Yeah.
Go fight that influence that's seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might do something with him. But hey, I'm not here to fight you. I'm here just to say what I need to say and keep it moving.
Amen. Amen. It's always about that positive vibe for me, man. I mean, you know, I like encouraging people, man. I like, you know, trying to inspire people, man. I like to give a person a word that's going to lift them up, man. Because we all from time to time need to be lifted up, man.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do, man. Give them a word, something positive, man, that uplift them, man. That's what it's all about.
Lift them up.
Yes, sir.
Man, give us a couple of ways that people can actually lift up somebody. Just give us a couple.
Man, I mean, speaking of that, man, you know, I told you I joined this swimming therapy class, man. And, you know, they you know, it's kind of like initiation. They kind of, you know, kind of interview you, kind of, you know, they ask you about some of the things that you like, some of your interests or whatever. And I told them I like to sing, man. And, you know, it was about 17 of us in the pool together, man. And they asked me to sing a song, man.
Come on with it, man.
You know, I sung a song, man. And I can feel the vibe from, you know, when I was singing, man, you know, so I like to sing to, you know, positive songs to try to lift people up, man. You know, it's all about lifting people up, man.
Yes.
You know, it was so amazing, man. I mean, I felt the vibe in the swimming pool, man.
Boy, that's deep.
Yes, sir.
In the water. One with the water.
In the water, man. It was great, man.
Yeah. So that's the overall message, man. What when you ask the question, what in the world are we doing? We know what we need to do.
Yes, sir. We know what we need to do.
We know what we need to do, man. We need to love. We need to be kind. We need to treat people with respect. And doing so, at some point, that's what you get back.
That's right.
Because you reap what you sow.
That's right.
There's no way you can continue to sow apple seeds and think you're going to get grapefruit.
That's it, Doc.
You can't do it. So whatever you're doing, make sure you're being kind.
Amen.
All right. Do that.
Be encouraged.